Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is. But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like, fashion, I feel like, is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, I would not either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides: Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and
this.
Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35. Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I'm Kate Spencer.
And I'm Dory Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
In 2019.
Happy New Year.
We made it.
We sure did. How are you feeling?
You know, fresh as a daisy.
You look great.
Thank you. I'm just ready to start things off. I don't know. I'm just ready to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I hear that.
I do love a new year.
Yeah. Well, you know, I like that the Jewish New Year is in September, because then I kind of get two New Years.
Do you set a resolution at Rosh Hashanah?
I don't set a resolution, but it does feel like a rebirth. I think also because it was always around, I think I've talked about this before, it was always around the beginning of school. So like the school year starting also felt like a new year. So the combination was really just like so much newness.
I do often feel kind of refreshed. I think also we're very fortunate that we live in Southern California, where like the plants start to pop out this time of year, unlike the rest of the country who probably goes through spring. In spring, you know, the jasmine's starting to pop out.
Yeah. You know,
so there's just a lot of kind of freshness in the air that makes me feel really good.
Do you have, so you said last episode that you are not making resolutions, but what kind of rituals are you thinking of?
I have really liked a vision board collage situation.
Same.
So I think that's what I'm going to go with. Not that I'm even going to kind of set concrete goals for the year.
Yeah.
Although I might. And I find that setting goals is kind of different from resolutions.
Yes.
So I might kind of set some kind of professional and personal goals. But it's more like, I think my goals are more kind of internal. Just like how I'm approaching life and, you know, how I'm treating people.
Yeah.
That's kind of more what I'm focusing on. But I think vision boarding is going to be what I go with.
Yeah.
I like a vision board.
I love a vision board. Not even
just a collage, just some pictures.
Yeah.
Just the practice of sitting in quiet with images.
Totally.
It sounds okay, right?
Yeah. It's like a nice reflective exercise.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be anything fancy or special or anything that you show anybody.
Totally.
Do you plan on vision boarding this weekend?
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, my husband had gotten into vision boarding in Palm Springs.
What a thing to get into as a couple.
Yeah. So I think I will propose it for this year as well.
I wonder if my husband would vision board.
Huh. I mean, Matt got into tarot, so
look,
anything is possible.
I mean, Anthony has known I've been into astrology for years and kind of never given a hoot. And then one day he came home and was like, I got to figure out the time of day I was born. Everybody at work is into astrology. And I was like, what? Okay. Yes. Get into it. So, you know, it's never too late.
No, it's not. I mean, I also really like going to the beach, like in the new year.
Yeah.
That feels, the ocean feels very cleansing to me.
I love an ocean.
Is that right?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, I do too. That's really stupid.
I love an ocean.
I mean, like I've lived on a coast my whole life.
No, there is something very cleansing about just like watching the movement of the sea.
Yeah. And I also, I like a cold beach.
You know, this is not the first time on the podcast you've said that you are a fan of a cold beach.
I am a fan of a cold beach. What can I say? I don't love the heat. I don't love too much sun. I burn very easily. So like a kind of a blustery, chilly, foggy beach.
Yes, a foggy beach.
Have you ever been to the Oregon coast?
A long time ago, but I have friends who live up there who are always posting gorgeous photos of their foggy beach experiences.
They have such great foggy beaches.
I mean, look, I have read Twilight. They do go to a foggy beach off the coast of Washington.
And I assume you've seen Goonies.
I love Goonies.
Yeah.
It takes place in Oregon.
Yeah. Well, so
I think what we're kind of saying is like just a moment in nature feels good.
A moment in nature feels great.
It's also a nice step out of the world that exists around us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, I have been finding taking like long outdoor walks. I talked about this a couple weeks ago at the Hollywood Reservoir to be very mind clearing. There's just something refreshing. And especially now in LA that it's not so hot.
Yes.
It's nice to feel a little bit of a chill in the air.
Everybody who listens to this podcast in Chicago is
and by Minnesota. A little bit of a chill, I mean low 60s.
I don't blame you for rolling your eyes at us talking about cool beaches and hikes and jasmine in the air.
You know, for two women who grew up in Boston,
we deserve this. We deserve Los Angeles. I will say I did go to college through an ice storm in the state of Maine. I lived in Maine for 4 years, so I enjoy Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah. My first sigh of 2019, first podcast sigh.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Okay, we're back. We're still here.
We are still here.
So, Dory, one thing we wanted to talk about on this first episode of the year is something we did in July.
Mm-hmm.
On this podcast, you and I faced each other at a table.
Much like this one.
Much like this one. Possibly even this one.
Possibly this one.
And we set
I have us pictured in your office, though. Like in my head.
Interesting. And in my head, we did it at your house.
Oh, interesting.
So I have no idea where this
happened.
Who
knows?
But we set intentions.
We did.
To then reevaluate 6 months from when we set them. And it's been approximately 6 months. Not exactly to the day, but pretty darn close.
Pretty close.
And we're going to kind of review them now.
Yeah, let's do that.
And then also maybe set some new ones for the new year.
Yeah.
So can we start with yours? Because
sure.
We
have a document, as we've mentioned, for each episode, and Dory has written her intentions, and underneath all of them has written whether or not they worked out, and in caps with exclamation points. And it's like very exciting to just see things that you had thought about 6 months ago, and they've all kind of happened.
Well, you know, it was really weird listening to the episode again. And listening to myself
to like
in July.
Past Dory?
Yes, because I was in such a different place. And I don't think I had totally realized it. Like, I wouldn't have realized it today if you just asked me.
Yeah.
Even though I know that I was, it was just crazy, like, hearing it.
It's
you know?
A weird artifact. Like, I haven't really gone back and listened to old episodes to, like, check in with myself.
Yeah.
But it is interesting that we've captured ourselves at certain times, and then things have drastically changed.
Yes. So when we recorded this episode, we were about, I think I was like 2 weeks or like a week and a half out from my embryo transfer. And I was feeling very pessimistic about how it was going to go. And so this is a quote from that episode. I said, I would just really like in 6 months. And then I was like, look, I'd really like to be pregnant, but basically, like, we all know that's not going to happen. And then I just said, like, so I guess what I would really like is to be on a path regarding IVF that feels clear. And I also talked about how I felt like Matt and I had finally become, like, truly pessimistic, but that had kind of allowed us this breakthrough where we came up with more of a plan going forward instead of just being like, we'll just, you know, depends on what happens. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And we had come up with a plan. And so I said, you know, IVF had caused so much anxiety in our lives, and I just want to be on a happier path. And I would like us to be out of IVF debt. So, you know, I am pregnant.
Right.
So that happened. And we are not totally out of IVF debt, but we are almost. We're getting there.
That's amazing.
It's been paid down a lot since we last spoke.
Yay.
About this. Yeah. So that feels great.
Is it crazy?
It was crazy to hear myself. I would say I would like to be pregnant in 6 months and then be like, oh, I'm pregnant.
Yeah. And it's also even just crazy thinking about when we recorded this and then almost a month later, you had just found out,
just
early,
found out
early, early, early. Mm-hmm. That you were pregnant.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now there is a human living in your body.
She sure is.
Made of you and your partner.
Oh God, this is weird.
Should I go into specific detail?
Yes, please. And then another thing that I said I was a 6 month intention is I wanted us to think about our podcast and where we wanted it to go. And I said that it had grown more than either of us thought was possible and that it was worth us thinking about together where we want it to go.
We did that.
When I heard that, I was like, oh my God, like we like really did that.
It is crazy. We did together sit in a bank and open a bank account.
Yes. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And I mean, like, you guys all heard last episode, like, we really talked about how we do the podcast. And it was just, I don't know. That was another thing where I was like, whoa.
Also, the podcast is funny because it just kind of, I think neither of us went into it with any sort of expectation.
No.
So it just unfolded so organically.
Yeah.
That. Who know, like, we just had no idea.
But I think one thing that is happening now is we are starting to be more intentional.
I was going to use that same word, intentional.
And I think kind of like consciously ambitious about where we want to take it.
And thoughtful.
And thoughtful. Which feels great too. And then I also said I would like to find a synagogue, which, as I said here, kind of worked out.
Okay, go on.
Well, just in the sense that, like, I did go to a service. At a synagogue.
That's awesome.
That I really liked.
Was it a high holiday service or
no,
just a everyday?
It was, I don't know if you saw, like, a lot of synagogues had special services after the Pittsburgh shootings.
I didn't see that.
And so I went to that service at this particular synagogue and I really liked it. It, like, reminded me of my temple back home, and I saw some people I knew there.
Oh, that's great.
And the synagogue itself is so beautiful. And I just was like, oh, okay, I could get into this. I haven't been back, but I want to go back. Like I don't know. I'd said I'm going to go synagogue shopping, but I did sort of feel like when I walked into the synagogue, I was like, oh, this feels right.
Welcome, Dory.
Yeah. So maybe like I should just go with that. Good. Why do I need to go to every synagogue, Reform synagogue in Los Angeles? I mean, that seems excessive.
Find something that works.
Yeah.
Go again.
Yeah.
And see how it is.
Yeah. Maybe I'll talk to there's a female rabbi there who seems really great. Maybe I'll talk to her about it.
Can I ask you a kind of related question?
Sure.
Do you, and did this happen growing up, and does anyone even do this? Do you do Shabbat at home? Like, would you do the Shabbat on Friday?
So we didn't do it every week, but I feel like we lit the candles a lot.
Really? Mm-hmm. Such a beautiful practice.
It is. Yeah. So I did light candles almost every night for Hanukkah this year.
Yeah.
So yeah. And then, you know, some intentions for 2019, I would like to actually join a synagogue, and prepare for the baby, but also try to be at peace with the things I can't control, which is like the most easier said than done thing in the world.
Always, but is a good thing to keep in mind.
Yeah. So I'm trying to do that. And I have a personal writing project that I want to like get out into the world.
It's really great. I've started reading it.
Oh, thank you.
I'm allowed to say, but I was chuckling up a storm.
Well, okay, before we get to you, I think we're going to take a short break.
Let's get in there.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I like to care for my skin, duh. And It's also something that I do love to kind of like get into the research on.
You do have a curious mind.
Look, I have a curious mind. I can't help it.
You do.
But today's sponsor, OneSkin, has made that easy because they do their own fantastic research for their products. In fact, their products are scientifically validated to improve your skin's health while targeting the root cause of aging. The secret is OneSkin's proprietary OS1 peptide. It's the first ingredient proven to switch off the aging cells that cause lines, wrinkles, and thinning skin, and they've got several studies to back it up. They also have an amazing new sunscreen.
Ooh, our favorite.
Our fave, it's the OS1 Shield Protect and Repair SPF 30+. It's got the peptide. It's a mineral sunscreen. It's got antioxidants. It comes in tinted and untinted. I mean, like, what can't this thing do? I'm just saying. I love it. It's so easy to use, and I love that it's just like, and it feels so nice going on. But don't take my word for it. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews and was recently recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands of 2024. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code FOREVER at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with code FOREVER. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, and please support your show and tell them we sent you.
You know, Dory, I am very interested in personal style and figuring out what my personal style is.
Mm-hmm.
But I also really appreciate having some guidance in this area. You know, like fashion, I feel like is one of those things that people just kind of expect you to know what your innate style is.
Totally. Yes.
And that's not always the case.
No.
Which is why I have turned to my favorite place, Masterclass.
Yay.
Now, look, we all know that with Masterclass, you can dabble in new skills and learn from the world's best minds anytime, anywhere, and at your own pace. Like, if you want to learn how to use your voice as an instrument from Mariah Carey, that is a thing you can do.
Amazing.
Can you imagine if when you were in high school, someone said, hey, you could learn a voice from Mariah Carey? I wouldn't believe them.
No, but I would not possible. Either.
It's possible with Masterclass. But the reason I bring up fashion and style is because they have a fantastic beauty and personal style section that I have been slowly working my way through. Two people in particular have been my guides. Tan France, who has a class called Style for Everyone, and Carla Welch, Building and Owning Your Personal Style.
Ooh, yes.
This has been very, very influential and helpful for me figuring out who I am as a dresser.
I love
and,
this.
And Dory, sometimes I do it while I'm getting dressed.
Oh, okay.
Because that's how easy and accessible Masterclass is. And like, it's not even necessary to sit down and consume a full class from start to finish. You can go at your own pace. Do it when it works for you. The material is super easy to access, whether I'm on my laptop, my phone, or my TV. They have a new audio mode so I can listen in my car or while I'm traveling. And right now, Forever 35 listeners will get an additional 15% off an annual membership at masterclass.com/F35. Get 15% off right now at masterclass.com/F35. That's masterclass.com/F35.
So, Kate, what about you? I'm dying. I didn't listen to yours because I was like, I want to be surprised.
Dory, what's hilarious is that I wrote it in a planner that I no longer use. So,
well, I did,
so much for that intention.
I did hear you say... The funny thing was, I didn't listen to all of your intentions, but I did hear you say that you had found this planner and this was the one.
Yep. Nope. You know, I will say, like, I am a serial monogamist with these planners. Like, I just go through them
one after the other,
and no one is good enough for me. No planner.
Aww.
No, I'm not good enough for them. Truly, it's not the planner. It's me. So I did set this intention in a planner. I didn't put it in the document. I hand wrote it. What a dweeb.
No, Kate, there's that negative self-talk
That's
again.
Right. Oh, God.
It's 2019.
And I still have it. And listen, number two, no talking down about myself or my accomplishments. Okay. So I wrote a huge list. Yours was very succinct and clear. And mine, in hindsight, I look back and it's just a lot of like feelings.
That's
interesting. Yeah. My intentions weren't like, do this thing, accomplish this concrete goal. It was more just like live, laugh, love, which literally is the first one. Have fun, laugh, enjoy life. Don't take it all so seriously and remember what really matters in the end. I tried to do that.
Yeah.
I think I've accomplished it. I will say that my husband and I planned a very last minute family vacation
yes.
in November because we were feeling really disconnected and hadn't seen each other. And we had so much fun. It was just 5 days. As mentioned, planned it through Costco's travel site. And it was so much fun. And I just think remembering like it's our time together, no matter whether it's in our home or if we're fortunate enough to go on vacation, that really matters. That was really, really meaningful. So I don't, that's kind of feels related. No talking down about myself or my accomplishments. Be proud, confident, and own my power. I'm working on this still. I definitely don't think I've solved it.
Mm-hmm.
Talking down about myself. Have I talked about this at all in the podcast? Self-deprecation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like that's learned behavior from my mother who used self-deprecation as humor. And I think to make other people feel comfortable. And I just do it. And I don't even know how to stop it. It just flows out of me.
Well, I think being aware of it and having people like me to call you on it.
Thank you.
Probably help. I don't know.
I was once, when I was like 22, hanging out with a man that I don't know if he was romantically interested in me or not. We were just hanging and he commented on it. And I was like, oh boy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. Interesting. Perceptive man.
Well, I'd never talk to him again.
Okay.
It was kind of a
That's also kind of a neg.
Yeah. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't need you to fucking mansplain my neuroses.
Totally.
Bye. But anyway, I do that a lot, but I am feeling a bit more confident in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why. Maybe that, it might be just coming with age, that I'm just feeling a little bit more comfortable in my skin. I wrote, sit with the discomfort.
Mm-hmm. I feel like you did that. We had a conversation on a podcast recently about like how you weren't able to go to bed
yes.
early and you were just going to kind of...
What happens with me is that I tend to like, I do something that I'm not like I'm ashamed of or isn't good, quote unquote good. And then I work that up into a shame spiral rather than just being like, well, this is where I'm at and that's what it is. And I think doing this podcast has helped me become more comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
Truthfully, a listener wrote once and was like, hey, you don't need to go to bed every night at 9. Like some days it's going to be one thing and another day it's going to be another, and that's okay. And I think about this listener's email all the time. So listener, if you're out there, thank you, because that really helped. Here's another one. No one's opinion about my career matters. My self-worth comes from within, not via others' opinions.
Ooh.
What was going
that's
on with
one.
Me in July? July was a really intense time. And I, you know, it's really funny. I just started working on a new writing project and what I hope to be a book someday. I'm only like 8,000 words in and I've already started to talk myself out of it.
No,
I'm going to stick with it. But I got the like, oh, no one's going to want to buy this. This doesn't make any sense. The market's moved on. But rather than just, I know Dory's shaking her head. So I'm just going to stick with it. Write something that brings me joy. That's my next one. Well, I'm going to stick with this project, which I kind of like it. It's a fiction project. If anyone wants to buy a fiction project, hit me up. Continue to express and share gratitude. I think I've been pretty consistent with that.
You
this
have
year.
Been.
Although I will say shout out to my gratitude Facebook group. I've been really bad about getting back in there. I think that means that tonight I'm going to commit to posting in it.
Great.
But that has been the most profound practice for me the whole year. Is just the practice of like expressing my gratitude. And even on like the shittiest of days,
mm-hmm.
figuring like finding the bright spots has just helped me. It's helped me feel better. Let go of negative talk and thoughts about others.
Oh.
That ties back into not talking down about myself. Although negative talk about others.
That's interesting.
I have to reflect on that.
I feel like I don't hear you talk negatively about people very
often. It's not, you know what I will say is that in my experience with myself, negative talk about other people is connected to negative beliefs about myself.
Totally.
Right?
Yes.
It's not that anybody
that is not just you.
No, right. I don't think so. And I think that maybe as I learn to like myself more, my need to shit talk other people or just be consumed by what other people are doing has gone down
yes.
a lot.
For me, I feel like that's always manifested when there's a person who I'm like, I know I don't like this person, but I can't remember why.
And then are you like, oh, it's me?
And then I'm always like, they're fine.
Right. And you were, and was it just that at one time?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
You
and
had
I think
had
I
feelings.
Just, yeah. And I think at the time I just didn't feel good about myself.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's another one.
Okay, I'm ready.
Enjoy the fuck out of my kids.
I feel like you have been.
We've been having a good time.
Aww.
I made, been baking bread. I've been into that lately
so
and they've been
cute.
Helping me. No, we've been having a lot more fun and I have been less irritable with them. Next on my list, stay active and vocal about social justice and change.
Mm.
I'm going to do better about this in 2019.
Okay, you know what? I will too.
Okay, deal. Yeah. I mean, I think I do an... I would say I'm an okay.
I think you do a pretty good job.
I do a pretty good job. It has been hard this fall for my to actually have actual concrete volunteering hours. I did some
yeah.
home texting, mm-hmm, some home mm-hmm. phone banking. I do some volunteering, but I would really like to do more. And I also do some donating, but you know.
Yeah.
I do call my representatives every week. the least I can do.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You gotta get in there. I've got their numbers and speed dial. Read a fucking book. That was a direct quote from my list. I will tell you, I've gotten so much better about reading.
That's so good. Yay.
I love reading. I feel it again in my bones. I've been reading at night more. That is all thanks to this podcast. I don't know if it would have happened without this podcast. I think also getting to interview so many authors has been really wonderful because I'm reading their work. We have access to these amazing book. It's just opening me up to new writers. Yes. It's just been so satisfying.
But you know, when you say that, I remember there was a period where you like couldn't get yourself to read.
Yeah.
And now you can. And it's great.
I think also like reading what I want to read rather than reading what I feel like I'm supposed to be reading. Like not necessarily reading the New York Times number one book of the year, but reading what appeals to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, there's a lot of pressure to like read the hot book or read the smart book or whatever it is, rather than reading the thing that like really fills me. Sometimes those are the books that fill me. Anyway, make an effort to reconnect with old friends and connect with new ones. Still working on it, but I'm feeling better about this.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Don't be so hard on myself. On go. And then get some sleep and stay off my phone. Stay off my stupid phone is what I wrote. I'm getting better about it. And also getting better about not being hard on myself. And then the last intention I had was vote.
Which you did.
Which I will do forever.
Yeah.
And I also am very now invested in a lot of my local politics. I did a lot of work for my local city council races last year, a lot of some volunteering, and I'm much more in tune with what's going on locally than I ever have been. So I will continue to not just vote for myself, but encourage other people and set a good example for my children.
You know, we have to protect voting rights because there are a lot of people who want to take them away from us.
I mean, they've already succeeded for many people.
Yes.
So we've got to get on that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing to work on while we are not in a national election, making sure everybody has the right to vote.
Yep.
And that our elections are more fair because
we still theoretically live in a democracy.
Anyway, that was my long list. Some intentions for this year. I actually feel like a lot of these kind of carry over.
Yeah.
Look, my biggest intention professionally outside of this podcast is to complete a first draft of a novel. I've been trying to do it for 10 years, 10 plus years.
Well, now it's on the record.
Now it's for all to know.
Yep.
And I really, really want to complete it, if only just for me.
Yes, but I'm sure it will be amazing.
Will it? Who knows?
When do I get to read it?
Oh, Dory. I would say, how about when I get to 15,000 words?
Okay, great.
I'll send you what I have.
Fabulous.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
That's my biggest professional goal of the year, in addition to just kind of building this podcast that we have started. And I would just say continuing to kind of be an socially active person while also kind of calming down my brain.
Yeah.
And continuing to work on loving myself.
Sometimes those things can seem like they're diametrically opposed.
It can be very hard. So figuring out that balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's tough. Well, I look forward to your journey.
Well, thank you. I can't wait to document it in 6 more months.
Yeah.
We should write these down and then check back in July.
Yes.
Because what could happen by then?
I mean,
who knows?
Knock on wood, I'll have a 2-month-old.
Oh my God, I don't want to be.
No, 3-month-old.
I can't wait to hold that baby.
It's going to be such a fat little.
Give me those baby thighs. Our guest today is Heidi Rose Robbins. Heidi, we're so glad you're here.
Yay.
We're going to get started by reading Heidi's bio. And before I start, you might have heard Heidi mentioned on numerous episodes. The one with Kulop, we get real into our passionate love of Heidi. So she's been a recurring theme in a few of our interviews. And now she's here. Heidi Rose Robbins is an esoteric astrologer, poet, podcaster, and leader of Radiant Life Retreats. As an astrologer, she has supported hundreds of people worldwide through major life transitions, spiritual crises, and growth opportunities. Her podcast, The Radiance Life Project, combines her love of astrology, poetry, and good company. And at her Radiant Life Retreats, Heidi helps people live more expressive and courageous lives through counsel, poetry, writing, and astrology. And I can say this is true, having gone on a Radiant Life Retreat.
With Ellen, right?
With past guest Ellen Fondler.
Yeah.
That's how we connected. And so many other incredible people. It was like the most fun. And Heidi has shared original poetry, some of it featured in her 2013 collection, This Beckoning Ceaseless Beauty, at two TEDx events in Los Angeles. And her new book, Wild Compassion, just came out in December.
Yay.
And Heidi, personally, selfishly, has been a very important person the past few years of my life, who I head to when I'm in a panic. Or not in a panic. But you've also, at least for me, made astrology like a grounded, approachable thing. So I was wondering if we could get started with you just kind of getting to how you got interested and started exploring astrology, and how it then became something you pursued in this way.
Yeah. Well, I was so lucky because I was born into a family where my father was an astrologer already. Wow. So from the moment that I was 2 to 3 years old, I was learning the zodiac, and I did learn it to twinkle, twinkle, little star. So, you know, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo. And then we also did Sun, Moon, Mercury, Venus, Earth, and Mars. So I knew these at three, and I have recordings of myself. But, you know, so it was in my blood. It was in the house. My dad would often lean over to me when, you know, new boyfriend would walk in and be like, well, he's a Cancer with Scorpio Moon, you know, be like, watch out for him, or he'll make lots of money, or whatever, you know, in a lighthearted way.
Would he have asked the boyfriends for their,
you know, he would say, fine, you know, yes. Sometimes he would take them, instead of being like, be good to her, be like, when's your birth time? But, you know, he's also somebody that you want to talk to. And he was a very psychologically rich and interesting kind of wise man. And so nobody minded. Anyway, so I sort of was in the environment as I was growing up. And then when I was about 19 years old, I attended my dad's first conference that he created. And I said, oh, I'm actually really interested in learning this. And so he made me a series of audio tapes, and I learned astrology, you know, in that way. And then I sort of branched out and studied with other astrologers, and thus it unfolded.
It sounds like in your home growing up, he approached it with a sense of humor almost.
Yes, he does have a sense of humor. Yes. But he also is, he also would sit down at the kitchen table and say, so he would say, it's so good to be here with you all the time. And then he would say, what is the state of your being?
And wow. Is this something that you do with your kids?
I have a sense of humor, and I definitely will talk with them about astrology if they're interested. And I'll occasionally say, oh, you know, the moon is in this sign, or, oh, you're a Leo, you're so courageous, and this is what your opportunity is. But I definitely wait for them to come to me around these things. You know, you don't want to like insert it too much.
Right.
I realize we didn't even, for someone listening who does not know what astrology is, we should clarify. Could you give us like the layperson's definition of astrology and what it is you do with it?
Yeah. So it's, for me, it's a beautiful science and tool and intuitive art. It is a science of cycles, and it's a science of relationships. And it is a beautiful way. It's the astrology studies the moment that you were born and where all the planets were in the heavens at that time, and how those archetypal energies aid us in our growth and allow us to move through obstacles with greater grace. And, you know, it's interesting if you look at certain words, astrology really, when you look at the word consider, it, the roots are with the stars. And if you look at the word disaster, the roots are against the stars. So for thousands of years, we've been looking to the heavens, and astrology is a beautiful way to continue to do that. And it's incredibly grounded and incredibly practical. And it's a great way to come to know oneself.
For people who might not be familiar with astrology, what would you suggest as kind of a starting point?
Well, you know what I'm doing now, which I feel like is a great entry point, is I'm doing these things called snapshots. And most people just know their sun sign, and that's all they know. So I thought, well, how can I introduce people to just a little bit more than that? So I'm now offering these things called astrological snapshots, and you can order one about your sun, moon, and rising. You can order one about the current transits. You can order one about Jupiter and Saturn placement, and they're at a very low price point. And I make a little audio, and you start to go, oh, that's why I never completely felt like a Pisces. Do you know? I mean,
yes,
in Dory's case, I just want to say she's, yeah, you know, here you are a Taurus, and yet you're Aquarius rising. Those are radically different energies. So there's a part of you that feels like not Taurus at all. You're both Aquarius rising, by the way, which make an Aquarius rules the internet.
Oh,
it rules social media. It's at the cutting edge of things.
Well, that was very eye-opening to me when I first saw you, because I'm a Cancer, and your sun sign is when you were born, right?
It's the month, the day, and the month that you were born. We all know our sun sign. If I said, "What's your sign?" you'd say, "I'm a Cancer,"
but I have Aquarius rising and Aquarius moon.
Yes.
And I felt learning about what Aquarius helped me understand so much more about myself, and I would have never even gone over there.
Yeah.
I mean, and I also identify very cancerly.
The rising sign is such a gift. It's such an invitation. And I love that the two of you share the same rising sign. I mean, for example, Aquarius says, "Water of life am I, poured forth for thirsty men and women." So it's like this idea of, I have wisdom, I have fun, I have lightness to share with all of you. And that's my wisdom, and you're meant to share it, you know? But in your case, Kate, yeah, you're a Cancer, which has much more sensitivity. It's like you both have your own form of shyness, and you both have your own form of like totally out there, you know, and you can see it in the charts completely.
Can you explain what a rising sign is?
Yeah, it's the constellation that was at the horizon the moment that you were born. So that's why we need to know the exact time, the exact place, the exact moment, because it's the constellation that was coming up over the horizon, and it is the sign that is rising within you. It's what you are here to cultivate. It's what you're here to learn about and embrace more. So it's like our soul's purpose. So if somebody says to me, "Oh, I don't know what I'm doing with my life. I feel so directionless, blah, blah, blah," you gotta look to the rising sign, because that's like hope in a bottle. Do you know? I mean, it's what's rising or ascending in you.
And then what does the moon sign symbolize?
Simplest way to say it is, the moon is our past, the sun is our present, the rising sign is our future. The moon is our childhood, is our instinctual behaviors, is our emotional life. So the moon is our go-to if we feel, you know, it's our safety zone. It's what we just, okay, I know how to do this. I learned how to do this as a child. I say the moon is what we do because we were all imperfectly held. No matter how brilliant our parents were, they couldn't be completely brilliant. It's hard to say that as a parent, but
it's true.
It's depressing, but it's true. So what do you do when you're imperfectly held? And what do you do to soothe yourself? And what do you do to make sure it's all okay? I'm a moon in Capricorn, so I get really responsible, you know, when I go, I'll just organize everything and I'll control everything and everything will be fine. But that's not ultimately going to serve me completely down the road. And that's why I have to look to my rising sign.
So what do you say to people who are skeptical of astrology?
What I say first is that astrology has gotten a bad rap, and a lot of astrologers have created that bad rap too. Do you know, like, it's not fortune telling. I am not going to tell you, you know, your boyfriend is going to enter in 2 weeks and, or, you know.
Right. You're not a psychic.
Right. So number one, I want to clear things up. Number two, I want to invite them to start looking at the people in their lives and be willing to be, you know, infinitesimally open to observe human behavior. If people are so close that they're like, that's, you know, there's something fundamentally wrong with that, then I just let it be.
Right.
But if there's even a shred of an opening, I say, just look at your family. Notice there are certain signs that repeat themselves within a family.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, totally. Again and again. I have Leo rising. My daughter is a Leo. My husband has Sagittarius rising. My son is a Sagittarius. I have Taurus throughout my entire family. So you start to look at what the patterns are. You just have to open your eyes. You start to look at what people look like. And then you ask, you know, you can ask them their sign. And, you know, I'm not great at guessing all the time, but sometimes it's just so clear what this person is, you know? So I'm so determined to be grounded with this beautiful art and science. And I just invite people in for the ride and to try it out.
And how do you think people can use astrology as part of self-care? Like, how does it factor into kind of connecting with yourself, getting to know yourself better? And then also, like, what does it not do?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
One of the things that I've been doing for a year now is every morning on Instagram, I write what I'm calling a moon note.
Oh, yes.
But my idea behind these moon notes is just to get people conscious of the energies so they have a choice. Right before we started recording this, the moon moved into Scorpio. Okay. So I know that. And if I know the moon moves into a certain sign or a planet moves into a certain sign, and I know the worst of that sign and I know the best of that sign, then I actually have a choice about how I'm going to work with it instead of being like blindsided by it. So astrology gives you the choice to say, okay, well, Scorpio is deep and penetrating and psychologically rich, and it's financial, and it's got a powerful quality to it. So do I want to go there, or do I want to go into resentment, reactivity, and, you know, flipping someone off at the corner because they, you know, made a mistake, you know, drove in front of me, you know? So astrology gives you a consciousness. It allows you to bring your consciousness to every moment, and it allows you to make the best choices as far as I'm concerned. And what it doesn't do is sort of what we said before. It doesn't promise you that this will be delivered on your doorstep. You know, I had somebody come to me the other day who was like, oh, another astrologer told me that I would have a girl and that, you know, we would, it was something about the sex of the baby. And I was like, there's no way you can know that. I am sorry.
Right.
I have little fits when people tell me what previous astrologers have told me.
I bet. Here's a question. I want to know about Mercury in retrograde.
Oh my God, I was just going to ask that.
It must be our Aquarius rising.
It's our Aquarius rising, just in sync.
And Mercury is in retrograde right now.
It is right now as we're recording this. And I feel like in terms of astrology references on the internet, that's a big one.
Yeah, yeah.
And how, what actually does it mean when Mercury is in retrograde? Should we really be abiding by the, like, don't sign a contract if every electrical thing breaks, it's because of Mercury?
Mercury retrograde is connected to some of those things. And I absolutely advise people when Mercury is retrograde, which means it is not moving direct. It appears to be moving backwards, but it is not moving direct. So it's like pausing in a way. So I advise people, be careful what you sign. But if you have read the contract 3 times, and if you feel clear, and if you bring your consciousness, then sign it. Do you know? I mean, if you have a choice, wait till it goes direct. You'll have so much more in your favor, because Mercury is the planet of communication. It's like how we connect, the bridges we build, the contracts we sign, what we write, what we say. So if I'm going to pitch something, I mean, I just broke my own rule. You know, I've been pitching some things during Mercury retrograde, but I'm like, okay, but it's really about, you know, you can justify.
Right.
But if I have a choice, and I'm going to wait till it goes direct to launch a retreat, to, you know, to announce a class. Right?
Right, right, right.
Because it's your words, your Mercury connection is being supported and directed. So I would just say this, during Mercury retrograde, if you can, take those 3 weeks to reflect a little, to review what happened for the previous 4 months, to take a breath, to brainstorm about your next book, to brainstorm about your next offering. If you can use it that way, use it that way.
It's kind of like a time to take a pause.
Exactly. Exactly, Dory. Exactly.
I was thinking it might be helpful. I know you did both of our charts.
Yeah.
For us to kind of go over them so people can kind of see how this stuff works in practice.
Yeah. So just to give a little glimpse, Dory, you know, you have the sun in Taurus in the fourth house. So when you look at a chart, it's divided up into 12 sections, and each section is like a room in a castle. So your sun is solidly at the base of the chart in home and family and motherhood and like wrapping your arms around something and taking care of something. So it's right there at the base of your chart. And Taurus is like, I understand the rhythms of things. Nobody rushes me. I bring my will to what I choose to do. It's got a quiet pace and it's in a rhythmic, beautiful unfolding. Like, and it can be stubborn, you know, but it's like home, 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 home. Like you've got, it's so much about home. And then your moon is also in Taurus. So you got, you're sort of like double stubborn. But your moon is in the third house of, guess what? Communication. Let's talk to everybody. Let's build bridges. Let's network. Let's share wisdom. Let's share information. Your moon, by the way, the position of mama, home, emotions, motherhood is about to be hit for a once in a lifetime hit by the planet Uranus that takes 84 years to go around a chart. And it hits for the first time in May.
Whoa.
Come on.
So, and it hits.
Heidi. Come on.
She's due in April.
You are?
Yeah, April 22nd.
Well, the first hit of this is May 23rd, which is absolutely an orb because it takes 84 years to go around the chart.
Oh my God.
If you came to me a year ago and said, I want to get pregnant, I would say, hallelujah, Uranus is going to hit the moon. I couldn't promise you, but sure. I would be like, that's an incredible thing. So it's going to hit three times, which is often baby, a move, change of house, change of internal state. Your whole Taurian rhythm is going to radically change, right? I mean, Taurus is like, I get up, I have a nice cup of tea, I do this, I do that. And Uranus is like, what?
Get ready, Kate.
I'm ready. You do have a morning routine. I've heard it. It's very stable. It's very calm.
And you can continue to do that and it'll be great for baby, you know? Mm-hmm. But so just, and then let's just lay in Aquarius rising, which you both have, which is this sign of wanting to be of service. And you guys, with this podcast, is beautiful. You are using Aquarius, the interwebs, you know, to share, to share the good word, to share the wisdom, to offer, like, to quench the thirst. People are thirsty. Yeah? Okay.
And their skin is thirsty.
Yeah. Thirsty. Everyone's very dehydrated.
And you have a, I mean, and just to say, you know, Kate, you, I mean, you're a Cancer. So there's, and you're, it's in the fifth house, which is the house of artistry and creativity. Oh. So you bring all your sensitivity to your creative life. You're an amazing writer, creator. You bring all the love and vulnerability and tenderness to this realm of creativity. And you have this beautiful dance between totally immersing and feeling everybody and then being able to detach and comment on it and write about it and be funny, right? So it's this beautiful combination of Cancer and Aquarius, which Cancer's like, I love you. I feel you. I want to wrap my arms around you. I feel really, really sensitive. And Aquarius is like, it's fascinating to study my emotional dynamic, right? So, I mean, this just gives you a glimpse, but.
Also seeing you always leaves me feeling good about myself. Like, oh, well. I'm okay. I'm going to be okay.
And by the way, I have to say one more thing. Both of you have Jupiter at the top of your chart right now, which is the point of career.
Oh.
Because you're both Aquarius rising. It only happens once every 12 years.
Interesting.
Oh, hello.
And you are a little bit ahead, Dory. Jupiter entered your 10th house a little earlier, and it's just now entering your 10th house.
Well, I am older.
Get in there, Jupiter. Oh, that sucks. Oh, boy, I'm overwhelmed.
How often do you look at your own chart?
You know, not as often as you'd think. Mm-hmm. It's in my head.
Yeah.
But occasionally I'll be like, why am I so grumpy? Yeah. You know, I'll be like, why am I so miserable at this moment? And I'll look it up. Or if I'm looking at timings of things, I'm going like, okay, I got to plan this out well, then I'll look at it. But generally, I've got it in my head.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee,
And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Oh, and sorry, just to, again, because I think probably many of our listeners are not familiar with birth charts. What do you need to do someone's chart?
Oh, yes. Good.
Yeah, that's a great question. I need, and this is so, I'm glad you give me the opportunity to say this, because I need the exact time. Don't round it off. If you, you know, if you can help it, obviously some people don't know, but if you can get your birth certificate, if you can call the city hall, whatever, your exact time of birth, your day, date, and place of birth, city and state, or city and country. Yeah. So, and then we can, then we create a beautiful two-dimensional picture of the heavens when you were born. And even if you don't know what a chart looks like, when you see it, it's kind of like, what is that? Because it's kind of inviting and mysterious and filled with symbols.
It is. It's like another language almost.
It is. It's totally another language.
So what are, how do you kind of, it's interesting because your career, part of your career anyway, with astrology, is this thing that so many people use as a tool to, you know, work on their themselves and their own lives. What are your self-care practices? Like, I go to you to help myself. So how do you take care of yourself? And do you, I mean, maybe
that's, I wish I had better answers.
No, I was of challenge. I don't know.
It is an area of challenge. And I was definitely thinking about it on the way over here. And I was like, gold lip gloss.
I mean,
and under eye concealer. No. But I, no, truly, how I take care of myself is I need as much silence as possible and solitude as possible, which is very, very hard to come by. But when I get an hour, I'm a different human. Mm. And so I try to also, like, maybe twice a year go off by myself, as you well know, you know, for three or four nights, if I can do it, and just be silent. And
where do you go?
I go to Ojai.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, mostly go to Ojai. When I can, I have a beautiful yoga teacher who I adore, who now live streams. So I'm like, I can just go bloop. And, you know, so those, that's important to me as terms of self-care. And, you know, you and I were talking about this, Kate, poetry is a huge form of self-care for me, because the minute I can slow myself down enough to read the poetry that I love, I'm like, right, okay, you know, that's where I'm at. Mm. That's the pain I'm feeling, or that's the tenderness, or that's the threshold I'm walking, you know? So I don't have a lot of traditional beauty self-care things, but I do have internal self-care things.
Poetry is such an interesting self-care practice. And we should also say, you are also a poet and a writer, and you use poetry in a lot of your teachings.
Yeah.
And like, even if you just go for a session with you, you'll be like, oh, there's this poem. and also on your podcast, you have guests read poetry. Yeah. I mean, it's a real integral part of who you are. And it's such an interesting, when my mom was sick, I started reading poetry, and I didn't even connect that it had, like, I was just like, I'm reading, who knows why I'm doing this. But it really has a very healing quality that's different from like picking up a book or writing or journaling for me. Reading poetry was really eye-opening. I don't know if we've touched on it yet on the podcast of self-care.
I'm a big advocate also of reading poetry aloud. And I'm also a big advocate of poetry that makes sense. I mean, it can make feeling sense, so maybe that's not fair, but sometimes I throw New Yorker magazines across the room because I feel like, what is this about? And I mean, so for me, I love the poetry that I can breathe with and that I can go, oh, and I can feel deeply in my being, and that changes me as I read it, you know? And so I'm not as much into the interesting intellectual turns of phrase as I am to the poetry that cracks you open and goes like, okay, that just brought me relief.
How did you first start writing poetry?
You know, again, it was a childhood thing. I think I was, you know, 7 or 8, and my dad would, we would all sing around the piano. He would sing these old folk songs and we'd all sing together. And it was, but he encouraged us a lot on the piano. And I remember I'd started making these compositions, and then I started creating sort of words, not lyrics really, that would go with them. And they were very dark at first. They were like, dark, cold, scary, a mind in which you can never break loose or something. I'm like 7 years old and writing. It's insane. But I think all along I was writing poetry. And then I had a really good friend in 5th and 6th grade, and we just would go home and write poetry. Mm. And then I think I went away from it for a while, but about 20 years ago, when I moved to Los Angeles, I was lucky enough to start working with a wonderful writing teacher who really just brought poetry back in again. And I was like, oh my God, I do love this. And also David White, the poet, too also came back and he came into my life about that time too. And I was like, okay. And I started writing about 20 years ago again.
So interesting, because I think poetry is something I would stop myself from doing. It feels embarrassing. There's something about writing a poem that feels embarrassing or cheesy, or like it's going to be very hacky. But do you ever write a poem, Dory?
I don't.
But it might, I feel like it could be an interesting practice just to do for yourself. Nobody has to see the poem. Yeah,
for sure. And my beautiful friend and teacher would always say, falling in love is embarrassing. You bare your ass. And I feel like falling in love, you have to be wide open. And I think with poetry, you don't have to be wide open to start, but you write yourself into wide open. And you're right, you can burn it when you're done.
Yeah.
But give yourself the gift of seeing yourself on the page. Give yourself the gift of relieving yourself from the inner turmoil. Every poem I've written starts like, I am, you know, dark and miserable, but then I write myself into the light. I swear, that's the only reason why I write, is to like self-care and to transform and hopefully to lift us all in that process. Name the gunk and then transform it.
Do you have special rituals for the new year?
Ooh, good question. Yes, I will say this. We have very few family traditions in my little family. I have 2 kids, but New Year's has started to be one for like the last 5 or 6 years. Sometimes we have a New Year's, we call it a New York New Year's Eve party. So sometimes we celebrate New Year's with a bunch of people at 9 o'clock, and then everybody goes home.
That's
a really good idea.
Yeah, that's great.
And families love it. We light sparklers at 9 o'clock. We're like, Happy New Year. Good night. Sometimes we do that. But I will say, on New Year's Day, we wake up in the morning and I have all these different packs of cards, like, you know, little divination cards that are sweet. They have words on them, or it's not tarot, but it's like, so we all draw about 4 or 5 of them and we read everything to one another. And so we start off getting a theme for the year. And then in the afternoon, we make collages. Mm. So we make New Year's
collages. Sounds a lot like my past few New Year's.
Really?
Yeah. My husband got into doing tarot like for the new year.
Beautiful.
And we've also made vision boards the last couple of years.
We could be in the same household.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Unknown?
Oh gosh. The Wild Unknown.
Wild Unknown.
Yeah, that's the one I have. It's a deck
the
I have.
The tarot deck, but they also have the animal card deck, which is so beautiful.
Oh, I have to get that one.
That's so inviting.
And is the collaging inspired by the cards? Is it a vision board of sorts, or is it?
Yeah, I always just like to sit for a long, I mean, I have tons of collage stuff because we do collages at the retreat.
Oh,
so I'm always
collaged with you.
So I'm always
hanging
collecting
in my office.
Yeah. And a lot of times people have never collaged before and they're like, I'm supposed to do what? But I just sit and I think, well, what do I want to, what feels beautiful to me? What feels inspiring to me? And I will say the collages like manifest. Like I made one once with this red rose that was coming through this dark thickness, and it just was a huge year of transformation. And I looked at it at the end of the year and I was like, oh my God, I just collaged my year, you know?
Yeah.
So for me, it's so deeply stilling and delicious, and 3 hours of not thinking. I mean, I take it seriously. It takes a long time.
Sounds really lovely.
Yeah.
How do you think, what can astrology kind of tell us about the coming year?
Yeah. So just a couple things about the upcoming year. So just as I was saying to you that Jupiter is in your 10th house. Well, for everyone, Jupiter just a couple of weeks ago moved into the sign of Sagittarius, and it's going to stay all year long. Well, until November of 2019. Such a beautiful combination. Jupiter loves to be in Sagittarius. It's a fire sign. It creates new visions. Like, both of you are going to create all kinds of new visions for your career. What's the next goal? What's the next horizon? Where do we want to take this? What TV show do we want? No. Oh,
I wish. From your mouth to
executives. You. Yeah.
But for everyone, it is this sort of idealistic, hopeful time. Last year was a lot of gunk coming to the surface and a lot of transformation, a lot of healing. But now we have new visions, we have new horizons. So Jupiter in Sagittarius says, travel the world, have adventures, take big risks, you know, go to the horizon. And then all year long as well, we have Saturn in Capricorn. It moved in last December, and it's going to be all through 2019. Saturn also loves to be in Capricorn. They're called rulerships. Saturn rules Capricorn, Jupiter rules Sagittarius. Tremendous purpose, tremendous sense of determination around climbing the mountain. Like, you take your life seriously and you're like, okay, what is the goal? And I'm going to go after it step by step by step. So we all have these two energies that are really available to us. And then I would also say that for those that have strong Capricorn, it's going to be quite a year, because Jupiter will move into Capricorn at the end of the year. Saturn is in Capricorn. Pluto is in Capricorn. There are tons of eclipses in Capricorn. So the Capricorn people are going to be really inspired to summit and to achieve and to, you know, take the world by the horns or something.
And when you say Capricorn people, that could be sun, moon, or rising. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter which.
It could even be a stellium, which is a collection of planets like Mars, Venus, Saturn, Jupiter, all in Capricorn. So, and then you could say that people that are Cancerian, the sign opposite Capricorn, will also be affected. Mm. So it's interesting. Yeah. So, I mean, that's a tiny glimpse. Uranus has now moved into Taurus, or it will move into Taurus in just a couple of months, and it transforms the Taurian person. It's reinvention. It's new life. It's excitement. It's improvisation. It shakes up the routine for all Taurian people too.
Wow.
Heidi, it was so good to talk to you.
Yes.
This was fantastic.
Where can people find you?
On Instagram, just at Heidi Rose Robbins. And then my website is HeidiRose.com.
And if people want to look at retreats or classes, it's all on your website.
It's all there. You can order my new book, Wild Compassion.
And you can listen to Heidi's podcast, The Radiance Project.
Yes.
I mean, you might as well, if you've never listened to it, start with the episode I'm on. Pretty sure I cry. Your podcast is so fantastic.
Thank you.
We completely forgot to mention it, but it's such a joyful, healing, positive experience. And I always go to it because most of my podcasts are like politics, murder. And then I put yours on and it's like so comforting and soothing. Mm-hmm. And there's poems and it's just, and so much wisdom. It's just delightful.
Thank you.
I love it.
Thank you. Yeah. I would love to have you along. I mean, you can learn a little astrology and learn about poetry and amazing people. And Dory, we're going to have you come on.
I would happily come on.
That would be so much fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks again.
Thank you guys. Thanks so much.
So, Kate.
Dory.
How did your roll into 2019 go?
Well, you know, I kind of wanted to do it with no resolutions and just like uncondish love for myself.
Yeah.
And for everyone in the world. Kind of a lofty goal.
Really?
You know, just loving everyone. No big deal. But it's hard for me to not set resolutions and intentions. Mm. Like, they just kind of keep popping into my brain. I'm like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, this year I'm going to do this, and this year I'm going to rest more. So, but I didn't make some big to do. I didn't try, you know, get too swept up in like the new year challenges. Yes. I just tried to be content with where I am and who I am with, which is my family and friends. And that has felt pretty good.
That's amazing.
Well, thank you. How was practicing JOMO?
The joy of missing out, just to remind everyone.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, my intent was to practice JOMO on New Year's Eve and to do something calming on New Year's Day. So I got my husband to agree to, we were just going to make dinner and do some vision boarding on New Year's Eve.
Dory.
And do a little tarot. So it was a very Forever 35 New Year's Eve.
Well, listen, I'm glad Matt's on board with our vibe.
Fully on board with our vibe. And then, yeah, New Year's Day just was very chill. So, yeah, so I feel like I'm heading into 2019 with some calmness.
Oh, that's how you want to start this year of change.
Exactly.
And birth.
What is your intention for the coming week?
Well, as we noted when you and I were chatting before recording this, I changed my intention. And I changed it to one word, Dory, and that word is right. WRITE. Not right like I'm always right, though we know I am.
Yes.
Just kidding. I'm full of wrongs. But anyway, you know what? I'm really trying to stick with the project I'm writing. My goal for this year is really to just finish this project.
Great.
And not finish it and like have to show it to anybody or have to be a thing, but just finish it. Like, write the end at the end of this document when it is done. I've just have not had that in a while. I really want the satisfaction of following through on something because that's a huge challenge for me creatively. I get distracted. I just kind of get sidetracked or I start to think of things that I think would be a better idea. So I'm just going to try to keep sticking with it. And I'm doing that by posting my word counts occasionally on Instagram. Mm-hmm. It helps me kind of feel accountable, like I'm actually doing something. So who knows? But that's kind of my goal for this week, but also for 2019.
I really love that. I think.
Well, please yell at me.
There's so much power in just finishing something.
Yes.
And not.
It doesn't have to be like a creative thing. It can be like paying off a credit card.
Yeah. But even with a creative thing, I think why finishing something is so powerful is because it just allows you to kind of plow through and not be inhibited and not be perfectionist. And I think, you know, perfection, what is that saying? Is the enemy.
Perfect is the enemy of good.
Yes. Perfect is the enemy of good. And like, you know, if you finish something, at least you have a starting point to make it better. So,
yes, it's so hard. Today I sat down to write and I spent 25 minutes filling out a foster dog application.
Really?
But then I did write 1,200 words. So, you know, maybe I just need to fill out a foster dog application before I write.
Hey, whatever.
Every time.
Works.
Whatever it takes. I'm going to have 30 dogs by the time this project's done.
Your husband's going to be like,
I'm glad you wrote that book, but we now run an animal shelter.
Why are we a kennel?
Okay. So tell me what your plan is.
Okay. So, you know, Matt and I were going to do the Christmas purge.
Christmas purge.
And for various reasons, it just didn't happen. But then we went to Las Vegas together for 3 days. And on the drive back, we were kind of talking through like, what is preventing us from starting this purge?
Introspective.
And we had a very introspective car ride. And I think we're both a little overwhelmed by how much we have to do to like get the house ready for the baby. And we keep hearing from people being like, you don't need that much for a baby. Like, you know, he just needs like a bassinet to sleep in. And it's like, yes, that is true. But we also like, we don't even have space for a bassinet right now. Like there is no room in our house. So you know, I would like him to have a room, and in order for him to have a room, we need to like move stuff out of that room. So anyway, you know, I've talked about this before. We just haven't started because it seems very daunting. And so I think we were both like, okay, we need to just start and take it one step at a time. So.
And have you figured out a way to kind of break down the purge process or make it feel less overwhelming?
Yeah. So part of that, I'd already made a kind of a list of what we need to do, but I think it's going to require, we need to make a new list, like a much more detailed list. And we also need to make some decisions about what we're going to do with like some of our extra furniture. Like, do we sell it? Do we put it in storage? Do we, you know what I mean? Like, we keep kind of going in circles with this. Like, we're both like, oh, we have too much stuff. What do we do with it? I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's so overwhelming.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously a good problem to have.
Of course.
But, you know, also on my other podcast, we've heard from people being like, you know, you don't actually have as much time as you think. Like, the baby could come early. And I'm like, and someone was like, you should really have your nursery set up by 30 weeks. And I was like, oh, that's 6 weeks away. Well, and here's the other factor that is actually a real factor, which is Bo and his behaviorist and this new trainer that we're working with. They both suggest getting the nursery set up sooner rather than later so that he gets used to its presence and like the new configuration of the house. So that's like another thing that we're like, oh, we got to do this for Bo. So it's like, yeah, it's just another factor.
Well, listen, if you need an extra set of hands, I'm happy to come over and help.
Oh my God, really? We don't, it's sure. Not even the hands. It's the, no, throw that out.
Oh, do you want me to be that person?
Yes.
For both of you?
Yes.
Well, that might end all of our friendships if I'm come over and I'm like, throw it all out.
We end up with nothing in our house. That would be the dream. Matt was like, I mean, I don't think we could be minimalists, but, and I was like, yeah, I don't think so.
It's not your style. It's not my style, my husband's style
no.
either. I think the thing too with like, with clearing out the home and getting ready for a baby is it's mentally preparing you guys. Like it
totally,
you know, the baby's not going to arrive and be like, excuse me, where's my crib? You know, he's not going to know.
Right.
It's sleep in a box, but right. it helps you kind of like mentally prepare for what's to come.
Totally. Yes. And I think we've sort of hit a wall.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, climb the wall. As it were.
Climb that wall. Get in there.
We do have to get a baby gate to help start training Bo. So, like, that will be another thing that's like, oh, a baby's coming. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's a gate here.
There's a gate here.
Where I used to be able to just walk through.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. So, you know, I'll keep everyone posted, obviously.
Well, Dory, you know, welcome to 2019. It feels great to be here with
hey,
you.
Hey, likewise.
I'm glad we're here.
I'm very glad we're here to see another year on this planet. And I also just want to remind everyone that we do have a voicemail that you can leave us messages on that we might play on a mini episode. It's at 781-591-0390. And you can email us at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Yeah. Tell us about your resolutions or your non-resolutions.
Yeah.
Or tell us whatever you want. We love hearing from you. And you can also join our Facebook group, www.facebook.com/group/Forever35podcast with many spinoffs. The entry password is serums.
And we always greatly appreciate it if you leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. We appreciate it if you tell a friend. We appreciate it if you mention us on social media. So all of those things really make a difference to us.
We appreciate everything.
We
and,
do.
Friendly reminder that everything, all products and goodies mentioned are always on our website, forever35podcast.com. And you can follow us on Instagram at forever35podcast and on Twitter at forever35pod.
Forever 35 is hosted and produced by Dory Shafrir and Kate Spencer and produced and edited by Sammy Junio. And we have assistance from Lane Hammer.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening, everyone. Have a great week.